I'm a third-party guy myself. I don't have a dog in the fight. I pulled the lever for good old Gary What's Aleppo Johnson because I refuse to participate in the sports fan-like mentality our political landscape has devolved into. That being said, this is a very scary time to be an American. It's not because of Donald Trump, who I think is doing a poor to mediocre job at presidenting and an A-plus job of saying stupid shit. The reason that I say that this is a scary time to be an American is because political discourse is dying a horrible death. Social media is partly to blame because people have access to so much information and they're not doing a good job at separating fact from fiction. This is occurring on both sides. There seems to be no rational debate about the issues, but rather heated exchanges that depend less on facts and more on feelings. People on the left seem to be creating ogres out of anyone on the right. All cisgendered, straight, white males are Nazis. Police enjoy shooting minorities for no reason at all. Free market capitalist solutions to problems are inherently racist, and any person espousing opposing views to their idealistic worldview is spouting hate speech and should be shouted down and not given an opportunity to express their opinion. On the right, people see the second coming of Orwell's version of America and Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451 all rolled into one. They're envisioning a country with no borders heading the way of Venezuela's failed socialist regime. They see the death of free speech and the destruction of the traditional family unit. They envision a place where all women want to have a few abortions under their belt. No one can own firearms. There's a mosque on every corner plotting the next terrorist attack. And dinner every night will consist of a vegan, gluten-free, low-carb, sugar-free, non-GMO nutrient paste. Everyone is androgynous, and gay interspecies weddings will be held at their Sunday service. It used to be that most people would at least agree to disagree, or even meet in the middle somewhere on some issues. Now each side assumes a moral superiority and views people on opposite sides of the political spectrum, not just as someone who has a different worldview, but as someone that is truly evil and means to do them unspeakable harm. Everyone is paranoid, and instead of engaging in critical thinking, people search out confirmation bias and only associate with people who think exactly the same way that they do, which, in turn, pushes them farther to the left and the right, respectively. Politicians are feeding into these behaviors, and both sides are showing fascist tendencies. The lack of gray areas, which is where the truth usually lies, is very disconcerting. Things are already bad, but I think that we haven't seen the worst yet. Things are going to come to a head, and people are going to get hurt. It makes me scared for my kids. And in the words of Rodney King, can't we all just get along?
This is episode 10 of A Podcast Without a Name.
Hey.
Heyo,
Rich.
What's going on, everybody?
It's Anthony, Joe, and Rich, and Rich's fan. Oh, hopefully.
This is Rich's biggest fan.
Yes, Rich has one fan. He's big, and he's standing right behind him.
He blows a lot, though.
He blows a lot of hot air.
Even my fan's not blowing me. I have it blowing out the window.
Well, welcome back to the podcast without a name. This is episode 10, like Anthony said in the intro. We have a lot to cover. There has been a ton of things that went down over the past, 5 to 6 weeks since we last had a podcast. We were talking about Syria for like 3,000 hours. We're going to keep this one within 45 minutes, so work with us here. We'll try our best.
Realize we will not hit every single aspect in 45 minutes, but we definitely want to make this more listener friendly at this point.
Yes. And what I would like to do is I would like people who are listening to this, all 25 of them, to, you know, fill in the blanks, ask the stupid questions on Facebook or wherever you find us, wherever there's a comment section. We will reply. We will talk. We'll engage. We'll have fun. Of course, we're going to talk with Trump Russia. We're not going to talk with Trump Russia. We're going to talk about Trump.
Hello,
and Russia.
This is Trump Russia.
Oh, Mother Russia.
My name is Trump Russia.
Oh, God.
Hello.
So anyway, there's so much to cover here. I mean, we were writing the notes for the show, and I was like, well, I guess we're just going to have one segment because it's everything from the Comey memo, Flynn, which has to do with Comey memo, to Comey being fired. fired, the special counsel being stood up, and the big picture and what's going on with Republicans and conservatives now that we're getting pretty deep in all this now. I mean, we're probably going to be hitting ahead with all this. It's ludicrous. Anyway, to give people an idea of what's going on, we've talked about Trump, Russia. I think I combined Trump with Russia and meant
his
Trush.
Name is now Russ. Russ Trump.
Russ.
Rusty. Rusty Trumbone.
Good old Rusty Trumbone.
This has been going on for quite a while. We've talked about this on several occasions. I think the major things that we'll probably talk about tonight is Comey being fired, the Flynn situation, and the most recent thing with Trump talking with the Russian ambassador and some dignitaries in the Oval Office about classified information, which I think is a bunch of bullshit for probably reasons you're not thinking right now. Is there anything most recent with that? Is there anything today? Was there like a semi that just drove by your house, Rich, and honked?
I'm riding my motorcycle in the basement.
Oh, naturally.
You know what? I'm poor. I live near a 95.
Oh, do you?
So sometimes you can hear the crotch rockets.
See, I wouldn't mind that because that sound of 95 would put me to sleep every night.
Yeah, until you have to deal with the sound of 95.
When you're trying to do a goddamn games. Cast.
Those helicopters that fly overnight at like 2 a.m. like searching for people. That's always like a nice wake up call.
Is there anything new as of today or yesterday? I mean, I know Trump had his press conference today and had a funny soundbite. I'll try to pull it up at some point. I don't know if I have it. But I think let's just talk here about the big picture. So we'll probably hit on all the little things that have happened, but this whole thing is a mess, right? Like this the left is hell-bent on getting this Trump-Russia connection. I can't necessarily sit here and go they're completely wrong about it. They're obviously trying to drive the narrative, but there's still all these underlying things that to the normal person just kind of goes, well, maybe, or that doesn't sound right, like, the timing of firing of the FBI director. But it's like, I think at this point, Russia is well on their way to achieving their strategic goal. The fact that this is happening, that our news is dominated by a Trump-Russia narrative, and it's having everyone question his, presidential, how he carries himself, like everything about him as a president is being questioned. And Rich is dying, is being questioned.
Sorry, went down the wrong pipe.
It's all right. But the fact that we're questioning all this, the fact that we have a president that's what just passed his 100 days in office, and we're, they're pushing a narrative to impeachment, but it's there. They're talking about it. Like, this is exactly a strategic goal for Russia. Like, my stance on this in the past, it wasn't to try to get a favorable Russian president in office. It wasn't to get back at Hillary Clinton. Russia's goal in all this, because it's been done for years and years and years, is to destabilize our political system, to have our public question what is going on in our politics and in our overall system, our democratic republic, right? Like, so, in that context, this is all for nothing, really. I mean, there's some juicy stuff, so we'll talk about it. It's fun. But really, Russia's winning. Like, that's the bottom line. They want us to be doing this. Like, it's just, they're winning.
Yeah, it's also
mic drop. Time to go home.
No, it's also stupid. Like you said, I think the timing of firing Comey was wrong, but he's allowed to fire him. He's the president of the United States. He could fire the director of the FBI. He was being investigated, but that doesn't mean the investigation is going to stop. So yeah. I really don't understand the teeth in that argument at all. It's just more a conjecture.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to put. Almost like with the presidency and the economy, same thing with like investigations and like breaking the law and things like that. Like, people tend to think that the president has this almost absolute power. Now, granted, we've seen things like with Watergate where there are things attested that, But the truth is, like you just said, no matter what he did with Comey, an investigation can continue on regardless. And it will continue on because there's multiple mechanisms for it to continue on regardless of what the president thinks.
I think that what a lot of people are looking at is the whole idea of obstruction of justice. You know, like, you know, it's the new Nixonian age, you know what I mean? And like that's what what's been thrown around a lot lately.
Yeah, I think the obstruction part two is with the Flynn situation, right? Where apparently there's an anonymous source that said that Trump had asked Comey to not investigate Flynn.
Right.
But we'll talk on an anonymous source thing later too, by the way.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I mean, and he doesn't, you know, again, we I don't want to beat a dead horse here. We talk about this all the time with, you know, how Russell Trump's how Rusty Trump. Now, how Trump like deals with news and with, you know, talking about things on social media and how he, you know, responds to things on at news conferences. And, you know, one thing that he's been being crushed about, which is funny, I mean, at least on my Facebook feed, is, you know, when he was asked whether or not he urged Comey to ease up on the Flynn investigation, he just said no.
Yeah.
and then he moved on to the next question. But but I wonder at what point, like, you know, one of the issues I have with this is not investigating him. Of course, you investigate him. Of course, you know, if there was an obstruction of justice, if there was something criminal or illegal that was going on, yeah, of course, I want that to come out in light of things. However, I wonder how much presidenting this guy is able to achieve when everything surrounding him is constantly just stuff like this, that's just like media propaganda. And you know, I'm wondering how well he can actually do the job that he's there to do.
You have to think that too when he seemingly is obsessed with Twitter, right? So, you know, my theory on this, I've had more than one, like, either Trump's brilliant or stupid theories, and you could be talking about two different things here. Like, you know, I talked about and I proposed a concept where he's just trying to occupy the press because he knows no matter what he does, they're going to be on top of him. Might as well give them shit to talk about and just almost troll them, right? In that regard, this could be, you know, he could be strategizing around that and just, you know, and still trying to get things done. I don't think that that's materializing in what he's actually getting done, so I don't think that's really likely the case. I also don't have any sympathy, even if that's his strategy, if he's trying to do that. I don't have any sympathy for a lot of the things, a lot of people to come down on him because, you know what, just get off of Twitter. Just stop. You're like, it's not even taking the high road in all this. It's just playing your cards right, right? When all this, you know what the strategy of your opponents are. You know what the strategy of media is. So stop giving them fuel. Stop, because it's, you know, fine if you're trolling them, but at some point you just got to stop because it's going to come back around. It's going to circle around. It's going to hurt you. It's going to start making people question things. Your supporters and the people who reluctantly supported you over time are going to, it's going to start testing them. And you know, if you keep throwing that shit on Twitter and you keep, like, he's undermining his own people now on Twitter.
And,
like,
and that is the thing. And I'm not really sure that he is trolling anybody or any of this is the problem that I have with all of this Twitter stuff. And I don't want to get on a tangent since we're only on a 45 minute segment here. But the issue I have with his Twitter stuff is I don't believe he's purposely, you know, trying to troll anybody or trying to whatever. Like, this, it's like the real Trump comes out when he talks on Twitter and it's idiocracy, right? I mean, it sounds ridiculous and it sounds like a teenager in a Twitter fight. And what's starting to happen is, you know, credibility is built on, like, look at Obama. The Obama administration was closely, you know, followed and loved by many because of his eloquent way of speaking. Whether or not he was a good president or not, it's how you present yourself a lot of the times. Trump does not present himself. So the other part of this is, okay, you can say that maybe George W. didn't really do a great job of presenting himself either. But when you go from a speaker like, you know, Obama to a speaker like Trump, it's like this, you know, vast change. You know what I mean? It's the other end of the spectrum. And I think it's a culture shock for a lot of people. The people who were totally against Trump are like, oh my God, I can't believe we, you know, got this guy in here as office. And, you know, the people that are constantly being apologists for him, I think, are probably going to get sick of that eventually as well.
Yeah, he's not doing himself any favors. He certainly, I mean, he's not going to deactivate his Twitter account or anything, but I think, you know, there's a time and a place to say certain things, and certain things you should probably keep to yourself. I've kind of learned that as I've aged, and he's a 70-year-old man, so you would think he would have learned those lessons by now, but apparently he hasn't. And it does. It's embarrassing. He's not presidential. We've said that before, that he's not a presidential president. You know, he's a businessman. But the other part of it is, if you're not going to be presidential, at least do shit. Like, what has he really done? Not that much, you know. And then every chance that he does get to be in front of a microphone.
In the light of a very busy news week, a lot of people would like to get to the bottom of a couple of things, give you a chance to go on record here. Did you at any time urge former FBI Director James Comey in any way, shape, or form to close or to back down the investigation into Michael Flynn? And also, as you look back...
No. Next question.
Next question.
but I mean, even when he was giving he was giving out that award at the Coast Guard ceremony, and he was... in his speech, he said, I'm probably the most poorly treated, unfairly treated politician in all of history. It's like, that's what are you doing? It's embarrassing. Yeah.
You can't like, listen, there's a part of me that gets to say, sure, you are right. Like from the beginning through the campaign and the cycle there, like there's many reasons you could sit there and you could say, yes, this is true, but you can't. When you see how he's handling it, because it's almost like, hey, man, like, it's not my fault you don't know how to be president. Like, at this point, because there is a certain way, there's a presidential way to act, right? There's a certain way you got to handle and carry yourself. You don't have to address every little thing that happens or what people say about you on Twitter. That is bad form.
On that note, Joe, right? Like, yeah. Celebrities and... I mean, all celebrities, all people on Twitter that are of like, you know, just like highly influential, I guess, or any celebrity musician, they have somebody who writes their Twitters. Half of the time, it's not even them writing anything on their Twitter. It's their PR people. Like, but then you have the president of the United States of America, and he does not have somebody to post for him. Like, he still has his own Donald Trump Twitter. Like, that should go away. You know what I mean? Like, for his sake. You know, for
and
his
not,
sake.
Not only that, it's like, if you notice the times he tweets, I mean, I think the one was like a 5-something in the morning. Like, he's
coming
he's,
off a bender.
It's like he doesn't sleep either, right? There's a part of me that wonders if maybe there is like someone else on his Twitter every once in a while, but the crazy shit is pretty much him.
I'm gonna go on the Twitter.
Baron Trump is on his Twitter.
Maybe, sometimes it would make sense if it was him.
This is not Donald. This is Rusty.
This is Rusty.
Donald's foreign cousin.
And I'm not even a big Trump fan or anything like that. The left has been so annoying with impeach, all this stuff, and you know that there's. As far as we know now, there's nothing impeachable that's happened. And it's just so hard to even make a point, because then he'll come out and just say some stupid shit. And you're like, well, he is an asshole.
Well, you know what's funny, too, man? Having conversations, right? And talking about, you know, did he do anything criminal yet? And they start comparing him to Nixon. And they're like, well, we don't know that Nixon actually... you know, ordered the Watergate, you know, break-in, you know, we don't really know that he did any of that. He was impeached because of obstruction of justice. And I'm like, I don't really know about all that, you know, but maybe, you know, but you know what I have found myself coming to is before I would be somewhat of a Trump apologist, not because I like Trump, because I actually kind of just can't stand the guy. But however, I would kind of be apologizing for the guy constantly, because being a critical thinker, you know, a lot of the stuff that was out there was just serious bullshit.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah, it's garbage.
But with that said, lately, like, I just had a conversation with somebody on Facebook, and they were talking all this bullshit, and it was the same old super hyper left-wing stuff, right, that you hear. Yeah. And I'm trying to be, like, the middle guy, right? And then eventually I was kind of just like, you know what, man? You might be right. I don't know. And, you know, and that's how I left it. Because that's where Trump is. You can only apologize for somebody so much.
There's only
much.
So much air you could waste on.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, like, I think we're on the same page with Trump. No one likes him. I think even a lot of people that voted for him don't like him. They took the you know, the best of the worst, if you will. And, you know, they just decided Hillary was worse than him for whatever reasons they had individually, probably for a single issue. I mean, Hillary pretty much made it a single issue campaign anyway. And so depending on where your single issue lies, that's how you voted. And, you know, there's only so much you're not going to sit here and, you know, you're going to maybe defend him just because of how ludicrous some of the arguments are being made against him or all the nitpicking that's going on. But at some point you're just going to, it's not worth it anymore. Who cares? Like, I mean, obviously it's important. It's the president, but why are you going to sit there and there's no reason to defend him? Let's all be real here too. If this was a Barack Obama with some of this shit going on, we would be, you know, just as critical of Barack Obama as a lot of the left is being with Trump. So let's not kid ourselves just because it's on maybe a political spectrum that might be more leaning towards us or favorable towards something that we enjoy. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to just, you know, go, you know, suddenly go along with everything that individual does. We could be critical of them just as the left is critical, but we could be more rational about it. We could be more fact-based about it. You know?
So bringing it back to, you know, the conversation, okay? So one thing that I've noticed is, what are your thoughts on the idea that Trump and those that are speaking for him and around him can't actually have the same story going into it, right? So, like... I mean, am I imagining that, or is that something that has become pretty apparent in the media? You know, Trump will say one thing, spokesperson will say another thing, you know, an investigator will say another thing. I mean, it's actually pretty comical when you read it, because it's like, well, do you guys talk? Like, does anybody talk to each other in the White House?
Yeah.
Maybe
not.
There,
it seems like there's really no communication. And even the press secretary, he's like the worst. Like, how hard is it to do that fucking job? Like, you're reading the prepared statements and answering questions where you have prepared answers, and he's just fucking terrible at it. And it's like, is it he that's terrible, or is it that, you know, there's no communication whatsoever that's fucking going on? It's ridiculous. I've never seen somebody be bad at that job before.
Yeah.
Like, you literally get up in front of the press and say, this is what happened today, and then they ask you questions about it, and you have your little set of prepared answers,
and
then you're done.
This is partially why I think, and I know you guys are going to laugh at me, but the fact that they're so bad at that makes me wonder if it's on purpose.
Yeah, it can't be, though, man.
I know. Every fiber of my being says it can't be.
I know,
right?
We keep going back to that, but I know. There's too much energy. There's too much energy that goes into the things that he says. He's so sincere with what he's saying. And then, like, what's that attorney? What's the deputy attorney general's name? Rosenstein, right?
Yeah.
So like, I mean, when you read any transcript or anything that's out on the media about what he says, what the president says about him, and then what he says about what their conversation actually was, and then you have like a third party that comes in and says, well, you know, this was actually what happened, and none of them agree, and it's like, well, what the hell is going on over there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can't agree on your story, then just don't talk about it. And so to that point, I don't know, maybe they are just trolling all of us. I don't know.
I know. It really does seem that way. It really does truly seem that way. And what do they have to gain from it? I have no idea, because it just makes them look incompetent.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think you guys, listen, I just want it to be on record that in 10 years from now, when the Trump tapes are exposed from, you know, his autobiography or something, and they're all like, that was all staged, fuck with the press, I want you guys to go, Joe was right.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
I can't believe it. That's the only reason why I'm saying it. But I do acknowledge that everything else in my body is saying, no, that's not the case.
Well, listen, to all the Trump haters out there, I'm going to give you a little bit of relief here. In a little under 4 years from now, there's going to be this great reality show featuring Donald Trump, who is no longer the president, right? And he's going to have crazy ratings because he was the last president of the United States. Yeah. And maybe all of this is just a way to invest into his new show coming out next fall.
Well, that sounds very left-wing of you, Anthony.
I apologize.
We'll call you Anthony Huffington Post.
Well, you know what? I like to switch back and forth.
But you know what? There's a lot of people that are tied to him now. Like he's appointed all these cabinet people and stuff, and it makes you wonder. Like, because really, the only way that I can envision him winning a second term is if there's a war, a major war. Because when are you going to switch? You're not going to switch presidents in the middle of a war. Like, I don't see that happening. You know what I mean? In the middle of a major conflict, you're going to say, all right, we're going to get all new generals. We're going to get all new Secretary of Defense, all new, you know, I think people would want stability at that point. So is something building that way? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a little bit of conspiracy theory, but
I don't know if war is like. That's a really good observation, Rich. And I know historically you could even apply that backwards, right? With any presidency over time, if there's some sort of contingency or war going on, the incumbent president has a very high percent chance of being reelected, like Bush, right?
A lot of people attribute it. His approval rating was terrible.
Yeah, but they attributed to him being reelected to the Iraq War and Afghanistan. But, you know, I don't know, because part of his platform, I think that if there was, listen, when we sent cruise missiles to that Syrian base, there was a really big part of his base that did not like that. Like Ann Coulter, who was like, for all intents and purposes, was on his, you know, jock, is now turning on him. So I don't know if he could be reelected in that context, to be honest with you. Everything about this political cycle has been different. Everything about the people who were in this political cycle have been different to a certain degree, at least Trump in particular. So I don't know. Maybe that's another trend that would be bucked if that's the case, right? Like if he were to like maybe go to war with Korea or something, or send more troops into Syria. I don't know if he gets reelected, because I think there's a sizable percent of his base that probably won't actually vote for him again.
But if you look at social media, the reactions to things like that were really positive, you know, and then you see stories about North Korea launching a missile and they're like, send them in there, like, you know, get that nut job out of there, you know, USA, USA. I think there's a lot of people that that do support that kind of stuff, you know.
You're right. You know, I think a lot of the support, surprisingly,
states, you know,
a lot of the support, though, surprisingly, of the Syrian strike that I saw were from a lot of my actually left leaning friends. A lot of people really actually thought it was an appropriate response to a chemical attack. And I'm not going to say they're wrong. I'm not going to say Trump was completely right. I would have liked to have seen a full investigation before we blew something up. But you know what the truth is? F the Syrian regime, to me, in my opinion, you know, my take on that. But don't mistake the support that he may have had for that Syrian strike for his base. I think if you go and you look at some of the commentary from his core people and people that followed him, like even I think it was what's his name? Joseph Paul Watson, or Paul, whatever that dude is from InfoWars. The one that does the video, YouTube videos with the map in the background, and he's like, I think he's British. He was a huge Trump guy, and he did not like that too. And I mean, like, there's a good portion of people. Now, North Korea might be a different story, though. You're right. I agree with that. I think North Korea is a little bit... North Korea is looked at from the conservative perspective as a fouled thing from... like an Obama failure, just like Iran. So if he goes to war with, say, North Korea or Iran, maybe it's a different story. If he puts boots on the ground in Syria, people might be like, well, we're just going back to this drawn-out Iraq war or something like that. So I think that's a harder question to answer than it might seem at first, to be honest with you.
Wag the dog kind of a thing, you know? It's like, well, yeah. when all else fails, you know, bomb somebody. See what happens. Yeah.
And you know what? You got to go with the statistics, right? If you're sitting there and you're campaign manager or something, you're like, well, what's going to get me reelected? Let's go with the numbers, right? So, you know, they might think that regardless of a war, what type of war, wherever it is, it's going to be in their favor. And that might be true. It might hold true. But I think a lot of things have bucked trends in this past election cycle that maybe that would be another one that could possibly be kind of turned around. I don't know, man. I just don't know anymore.
I just don't know.
Is this real life? Anyway, big picture, man. What is the big picture of us? Caught in a landslide.
No.
Sorry, I started to drink my beer. Sorry.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's really tough, too, because then you have the social issues compounded on top of that. So if the left keeps this narrative up of, you know, kill Whitey, you know.
Yeah, you're
everything
right.
is
Absolutely.
Due to white supremacy.
Yep.
That's going to alienate a lot of voters, you know,
if he
Trump's
switches
side
back,
again.
I think he's best served focusing his energy domestically, because that's where he's going to win a lot of the people that voted him in. I think when he lights the White House up blue, when, you know, he says he's going to bring jobs back and, you know, impose tariffs on, you know, outsourcing and stuff like that. That's the stuff that's going to get him the same votes that got him in office.
Do you believe that he actually wants re-election?
I'm not completely sure about that. My first thought would be he's kind of a superficial person that, like, he might get halfway through this and go, what's this even worth anymore? Because it's too much shit. I know
I feel like he's already hit that point, like 4 months in.
It's possible.
You know what I mean?
It's very possible. Well, think about Barack Obama, right? He's a career politician. Like, that's his life. So if you're a career politician like him, George Bush, it's almost a foregone conclusion that you're going to go for re-election. That's what you do. That's your next thing. Like, all right, that's my next thing, right? But if you're not a politician, you have to be questioning, is this even worth being here?
Is that ever happened before in history? I mean, has it ever been like a president made it to the end of his fourth year and he just goes, you know what? I'm not going to run again.
I'm sure it has. I don't know.
Passing the torch to
I picture
that's a good question.
I picture Trump's last day. He goes up for like some crazy like State of the Union address, right? And he just looks at the camera and goes, psych. Yeah,
like, watch my show.
Fuck you, you're cool. Fuck you, I'm out.
He just half bakes him.
Yeah,
that's awesome. But I mean, I think what we're talking about here is we are getting at the big picture. What's the next step for him? Is he going to survive this? There's nothing impeachable yet. I think Rich pointed that out earlier. Like, we're gonna, you know, The quicker he gets past this Trump Russia situation, the better, I think, for everyone involved, to be honest with you. Maybe for some of the hardcore left, they'll just have to come up with some other ludicrous stuff. But, you know, for him to actually get stuff done, like for him to actually do what he meant to go there for, like what he was voted in for, we need to get past this. The people need us to get past. Like, I think this. Let's get to a conclusion on this. Let's do it soon. I think we're getting there. The special counsel was appointed. Let that happen, although historically speaking, they always find something. So I think, to be candid with everyone, like, I think at the end of the day, there will be some sort of impeachment. Partially because...
I believe so.
Yeah. I think partially because I think Republicans are starting... like, so I listen to all different types of podcasts. Some of them tend to be more like I try to stick to center, but some of them tend to be more center right, kind of like how we are. And some of my straight up right podcasts I listen to, in particular, like Ben Shapiro, I'm seeing and hearing in these podcasts that there is a little bit of a slow movement towards we're slowly getting done with Trump. And if you think about how Trump started, how he got elected, and where we are now, it makes sense, right? Trump was never popular. He's not a Republican. He's not a conservative. We all know this. So he was never popular to begin with from mainstream conservatives and also machine Republicans or mainstream machine Republicans, which are different than conservatives. Then he somehow got the nomination and everyone kind of looked at each other and said, well, I guess that's our man. We got to go with him. And they justified it for specific reasons. A lot of them was the Supreme Court nominee. A lot of them was maybe things like race relations. I personally would not have. I didn't vote for anyone because I voted down the ticket. But I would have not have voted for Hillary Clinton because of her race relations policy and pretty much anyone on the left in that regard. You know, whatever, pick your specific reason. That's why they voted for him, whether it's immigration or something else. And, you know, now you could probably look at a lot of this and go, well, you got your Supreme Court nominee, which I actually, to be honest with you, the hardcore conservatives, that's probably their number one thing. And that's been done, right? They got their conservative nominee. He's in there. He's now a Supreme Court justice. Every day that passes now is less of a reason for those X amount of voters to care about Trump being president.
Well, you know, I got a question for you guys. I'm kind of curious on what your thoughts on this would be. So would you think that originally when Trump first got elected and the media push and a social media push from the far left. And, you know, you heard a lot of stuff about, you know, the snowflakes and the crybabies and all this other stuff and how bad the protests were and all this other, you know, stuff to that nature. You know, people were saying, well, you know what? I wonder if that's like my original thought was that the left was pushing people that were in the middle closer to the right, you know, for future elections because of how they reacted to stuff when it happened. And now I'm wondering, do you guys think that maybe this whole Trump administration is actually pushing people that were in the middle closer to the left for the next coming like when it comes to re-election, or I don't really think there's going to be a re-election, but when it comes to the next election cycle, you know, would you think that maybe some people in the middle might want to lean more left based on what they've experienced in this, you know, election cycle and with this administration?
If anything, what I think, and I mean, I see this as a big opportunity, is that this really gives a third party, whether it be the Independent Party, the Libertarian Party. I honestly think that this gives a third party candidate a chance to really make some noise in a presidential election, which would probably lead to a Democrat winning anyway. I mean, I don't have any, delusions of grandeur that we're going to see a third party candidate be president, you know, this upcoming election. But I think it really kind of opens the door because whoever they tried out on the left is going to continue the narrative, and people are just going to not want to vote for Donald Trump. So it's like, yeah. Well, who do you vote for at that point? Well, I'm not going to vote for somebody that says I'm evil, so, you know, and this guy's an asshole. Who's this other person? What are my other options? You know?
Yeah. And you're right. In that calculus, that's going to probably spell a win for a Democrat candidate. But, In terms of moving people in the center to the left or the right, I think it's probably inflating the center a little bit more because I think the left has gone real left.
I guess instead of center, I should say like the swing voters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and that's kind of what we're talking about, right? I mean,
you can be center about the swing and not voters. A swing. You know what I mean? Like, so I mean, but I don't know. Well, anyway, guys, I think. I'd like to get into a little bit more detail with the Comey firing. I think that's a pretty big deal. And that kind of, you know, what we've been talking about segues into that with, you know, I think there's a good conversation surrounding how Comey, you know, handled the Clinton emails and all of that classified data, you know, being exchanged in the private servers and et cetera. And now, you know, we have this investigation to Trump and his ties with Russia and with, you know, with everything else that's going on. What are your thoughts on his dismissal? And do you think that, you know, what do you think the reasons, I guess, would be, critically thinking about it,
yeah,
the reasons for his firing were? So,
my personal opinion, I posted this on the Facebook page, is the optic is horrible. The timing is really bad. And my ultimate, what I'm going to say ultimately is he should have did this a while ago. It should have been done. But let's be real about this. No one liked him. No one. And he is somewhat of a dope in regards to being an agency head.
He's become a hero almost in his firing, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like a martyr.
I was just going to say, I've never seen a guy lose and gain popularity in such a short period of time.
He's like a show. I don't know what it is because what he did in terms of like during the election cycle, when he announced that he's, you know, the charges were not going to, he said, we're not going to charge Hillary, but then laid out the case for charging her. And then the letter to Congress, you know, what, 7 or something days before the actual election itself, saying, well, we have more information. And then post all that, you have all these different things with like various things where he's coming in front of Congress and testifying and saying things, exaggerating things. Like he exaggerated the different types of emails that were on Wiener's laptop. Like he grossly exaggerated. I don't know what he's doing. I don't. But the one thing I know what he's doing is he's not good at what he does.
I mean, he went from giving birth to the lock her up chant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm wondering if he has this
Democratic hero of, you know, fighting against
everyone hated him. Like, everyone hated him. And the fact that Trump kept him on from the beginning to me was really surprising. Like, I don't understand why he kept him on. He should have gotten rid of him day one. An investigation into his campaign was already known before he was even inaugurated. He got inaugurated. It became even more apparent that there was investigations into some of his campaign associates and possibly him himself. So the fact that people are like, oh, they fired him because he's, you know, he refused to, you know, shut off an investigation. I think that might be actually like a little too much credit to Trump, be honest with you. Like, I think Trump is more impulsive than that. And I think it really was like, well, fuck this guy because he's just an idiot. Like,
the impulsive nature is what scares me the most.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I listened to his testimony in Congress that preceded his firing. He didn't say anything new. He really didn't. The only thing he did was exaggerate kind of old stuff. And when I walked away from that, and you know, I was reading some of the commentary, and there was some leaks post that, and I was like, man, what is he saying? Like, what is his? I don't know what Comey's doing. I really don't know what he was doing in office with his approach to things. I don't know what his goal was. But I can't promise anyone. But the truth is, I don't really think Trump fired him because he was investigating him for many other reasons, because we talked about earlier, like the investigation is going to continue regardless. It doesn't even have to be the FBI. Congress has the ability to subpoena people and to conduct their own investigation, special investigators, things like that. This is going to continue. It doesn't fucking matter, right?
Yeah. So when the mass media pushes, you know, the idea that, okay, this was obstruction of justice. You have this guy that was looking into Trump that people hate, right? And mm-hmm. now he is suddenly fired, and the optic is obviously bad, right? But like, yeah. You know, you're now people that are somewhat uneducated with that entire process, or they just really want to, you know, put as much cons against Trump as they can, you know, will say like, well, that was, you know, the central part of, you know, taking down Trump, and then he was fired. You know, they forget that there was a lot more around that, that surrounds that, that makes these types of things happen. You know what I mean? Like, firing the director of the FBI doesn't mean that the investigation goes away, or that other people aren't going to be investigating him, or still are. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, you know, and I don't think Trump believed that when he fired him either. You know what I mean? Like, I think the perspective that we have as citizens to that, you know, all you see is that bad optic, and they
that
just gets exaggerated over time.
When,
you know,
when you, and I don't think anyone would argue that the media isn't necessarily you know, left leaning. I think most people would acknowledge that unless it's Fox News, it's probably more left-leaning, maybe not far left, but more left-leaning. So it can be expected that when something like this happens, that it'll be exaggerated or biased towards something else that might not be the truth, right? We have to acknowledge it. It happens the other way, too. You could turn on Fox News and see it the other way. It happens. No, but
if I read like NPR, like, articles, right? Or like, you know, or any left-leaning but well-written articles, I'll notice that they're definitely left-leaning, but they'll tell what's going on and then put like a little, like, you know, jab in there, you know what I mean, toward the right. And that is easily discerned, you know what I mean? Like, you can see past that if you're trying. You know, a lot of people are believing not that stuff or looking into that stuff. They're believing more the complete, like, you know, I mean, I hate to use the term, but fake news stuff that's out there. You know what I mean? And the propaganda clickbait stuff that like really paints a different picture, I think, you know. But I mean, I don't know. Comey in himself was just an idiot with how he talked in the media and certain things he said. I mean, I know we got to wrap it up, but one of my favorite things that he said was, "Lordy, has this been painful? Lordy, has this been painful?"
Rich, we'll give you some take on this too. Go.
Yes.
Yes. Life.
Indeed.
No, I think the moral of this all is, you know, the left's going to keep pushing the extremes and all this. I think we've all recognized that. I think even people in the left are recognizing that, you know, and people who like us, who are maybe a little bit more center right, you know, we're going to still keep looking at the facts. We're going to still keep trying to like see what is the legit thing here going on. But you know what? At some point, we need answers. We need real answers. We're not just going to say something's okay because it's Trump. That's never going to happen. If it's Barack Obama, it's a different story. Listen, that's not going to float here. We're not Trump apologizers, apologists, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, we've been critical of him. We'll continue to be critical of him. You know, this whole Trump-Russia thing needs to get settled. We need to get somewhere with this. We need to move past this. Because
we need sort of resolution.
Yeah, everyone.
Could I just raise one interesting question for maybe our next podcast?
Yes.
All these people were saying that the government controls the media. It's a propaganda force of the government, right? And then people are saying corporations own the media and Donald Trump is a part of corporate America. So if the media is bashing Trump, right, and Trump's part of the government, but Trump is also part of corporate America, controls the media, man.
What?
Ooh.
Think about that.
Well, guys, thank you, everybody. I hope I hope we gave some enlightenment or raised some question. But listen to our next segment coming up. It's going to be a deep dive into a few of these
Dive. Catch us on Facebook, the Podcast Without a Name. Just search on us. Twitter at No Name Podcaster. We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, somewhere else.
ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is. The shit for
little kids. Hey, I just want to give one quick shout out before we roll. Melissa, we
shout it out.
Melissa, we kept it to 45 minutes for you. All right.
Yeah, actually, we're at like 47, so sorry.
We tried.
We fouled you, Melissa. We fouled you. We will try our best next time. Thank you for listening to Podcast Without a Name. Catch us on your next episode. Hopefully, sometime soon. Later.
Later.